numbers told the story they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Happy to be with you on a Tuesday morning. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchak. Back again. We'll have a surprise from Wyatt later in the show. That sound good?
That's the best way to tease it. It was really hard to find the right bag for it to bring in.
Oh, well, now you really are confusing the folks out there.
See, that's what you want to do.
For what it could be. There you go. NFC North Day later in the program. Packers, Bears, Lions, Vikings. We'll go through all those previews as we go along through the show. But with us today, of course, Drew Dinsick will join us momentarily. Dan Szymborski will get his thoughts on the home run derby that we saw last night. Juan Soto defeats Julio Rodriguez, even though Julio Rodriguez hit over 80 home runs last night in three rounds. And our guy Danny Burke will join us, of course, the host of Rush Hour, the Chicago City Cast, and wherever else you find Danny in the city of Chicago at 11:30. But we have Drew Dinsick, of course, NBC Sports Edge, of course, that's Bet the Edge, and of course, as well, Deep Dive Podcast with him and Andy Mulder as well. Drew, good morning. It's good to talk to you as always.
Jeff, great to be with you. I love the introduction as always. Appreciate you guys having me on, and excited to talk a little sports today.
So Drew, I'll just ask you because I know you're not a baseball guy per se, but did you dabble at all last night in the home run derby?
Yeah, but just for fun stakes with our friends. It is such a dead time of the sports betting season, and I don't ever have an edge to grind on the home run derby. Usually, I say usually. There were a couple years where the sports books made mistakes, and it was there were clear actionable plus TV things you could capitalize on, but it hasn't been that way for the last couple years. And so we just basically do a random draw to figure out what order we're all going to pick in, and draft a runner. And then you just have like a vig free winner take all pot. I ended up with Jose Ramirez, who was miserable. So I didn't watch much of it.
You ended up with the second worst person basically last night.
It was awful.
Schwarber ended up being the worst.
Pick, yeah. Schwarber was absolutely the worst, but I had the seventh pick and we were basically like anyone but Pujols. And then sure enough, Pujols ended up, making him farther than our guys. So
now, hey, look, that was an interesting night last night. There were questions on if Schwarber's home run count was actually counted correctly, which we were watching it live on primetime action. Myself, Kelly Bidlin and Ben Wilson. I thought Schwarber hit 20, but regardless, that's not what was counted in that first round. And of course, Julio Rodriguez, as I said in the open, 81 homers last night, not enough to win the home run derby as Juan Soto, third favorite on the board behind Alonso and Schwarber, ended up winning. Drew, you mentioned it. This is the dead few weeks of the sports calendar before preseason football really gets going in about 3 weeks. What are you betting these days?
So this time of year is actually one of my favorite times at the calendar, frankly. Like when there's multiple sports that are going on that I'm trying to handicap at the same time, like NFL playoffs, Australian Open, or NBA, NBA playoffs, French Open, like that can really, really grind you to, to a fine dust this time of year where there's just some low stakes tennis going on to kind of keep me interested. And then a lot of preparation for the NFL season is actually one of my favorite times. And so for the most part, I'm spending my days going team by team in the NFL, really looking hard at what happened in 2021. Let's do a full autopsy. Starting with like what the vision was of that team. What were the moves they made in the offseason preceding? What were the specific aspects of their 2021 season that really got them to success or failure, depending on how, stakes they set for themselves. And then, from there, then assess what happened in the offseason, changes to the front office, changes to the coaching staff, changes to the roster, draft choices, and then look, very carefully at, kind of what type of team are we dealing with now heading into 2022? Is there a way to attack this team preseason, or are we better off waiting for a spot in season to try to make a market entry on this team? And then similarly, if we're going to bet this team game by game, is this a team that we're expecting to cover as, meaningful dogs, or is this like a bona fide true blood, true blue lay the points with favorite, or bet the over or under in certain situations? So this is most of my process for the month of July, is kind of going through this before we get to preseason football. I have to say it's probably my favorite time as pure handicapping standpoint, because I love the NFL and I've had a decent good break, enough of a break from it now to really sink my teeth in.
Drew, this process started, I would guess, last week, right? Or are you just starting
for sure
today?
Oh yeah. For sure. Yeah. Right after Wimbledon's over. Right into it. Absolutely.
Hey,
yeah.
Drew, if you're willing to share, who have you already gone through? Which teams have you already done the autopsy on for the 2021 season?
Sure. So I'm through two teams. They're two divisions at this point.
Okay.
NFC North is in the books. That was the first one, and that was a fun one. And then AFC East is the second one. So I've kind of tried to pick it based on sort of, going through the ones where we have the most certainty, at least in terms of roster composition. That's helped so far.
So Drew, this is perfect because today's NFC North day for the previews on the show. So
what do you know?
Let's just dive right in then. And let's just talk about the NFC North because we'll talk about Green Bay as a whole at 7:30 Pacific time. Wyatt Tomchek has a certain surprise for the listeners at home, the resident Packer fan of the show today. But Drew, for me, we know Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great. We're going to learn pretty quickly how much Aaron Rodgers cares about winning still pretty early in the season with how different this wide receiving core looks like. And then defensively, I think this is the best defense Green Bay's had on paper going into a season in a very long time.
Oh, all of that is fair. Absolutely fair. At this stage in Aaron Rodgers' career, he is in rare air among all-time quarterbacks, and there is not really a debate to be had about that. But I think it is completely fair to stand back and look at a guy with the talent that was all-time top five and wonder, how is it possible that this guy has only ever won one Super Bowl? Heck, mm-hmm. He's only ever been to one Super Bowl. Like, that doesn't check out. Like, there has to be something else going on for him to have had this, this small of a resume of postseason success. And I don't have the answers to this at all, but I got to tell you, the way that their season ended last year was as soft a performance as I can remember in a playoff setting. And it was tough to really revisit, frankly. That playoff loss to the Niners got a little bit washed over in sort of the moment, because it was on that Saturday night time slot, which often gets forgotten about because the Sunday games are usually the good ones. And lo and behold, this year, divisional weekend, we had two all-time incredible Sunday games, capped off with maybe the best playoff game in the last, five, 10 years, with the Chiefs and the Bills. So everybody kind of just passed over what happened in 2021 with that loss to the San Francisco 49ers. But that was, to me at least, somewhat instructive about what's going on with this team, or at least not instructive as much as gave me huge amounts of pause as to the degree to which Rodgers is committed to, the franchise, committed to his teammates, and, willing to be a leader in the moment. Because watching that game, there were some very clear 1v1 problems that the Packers were facing going up against a defense that was playing extremely aggressively, that was bringing wave after wave of pass rush, and that was really, really disrupting Rodgers from the standpoint of not allowing plays to develop. And rather than in the moment pivot to the shorter stuff, the easier stuff, the stuff that you have on paper to break up that type of, a defensive success, they weren't really pushing those buttons. And it was surprising. It was frustrating. And they ultimately just kind of capitulated in a way that I thought was, just extremely disappointing. And, you know, Matt LaFleur at the halftime of that game, talking to Aaron Andrews, comes out and he's like, nope, everything's fine. This is going exactly like we want. And I still have pause to this day that LaFleur understands what he's got in terms of a team and a roster, understands how to build a team going forward based on some of the decisions he's made in the offseason. And I think that this is a very uncomfortable marriage between LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. And so if you're expecting now on the fly that after Rodgers gets paid this offseason, and after they kind of double down on adding elite talent to this defense, that, you know, that everything is going to be fine in that locker room from an offensive standpoint, I've got enormous questions about that. And, you know, it's not all 100% about the loss of Devontae Adams. Some of it is literally like, you know, Rodgers seems to compete as much as he feels like competing at times. And if he's, for whatever reason, disinterested, then, you know, you're all of a sudden trying to win games 20-17 this year if you're the Packers. And can your defense hold the opponents to 17? Absolutely. I think there is almost, you know, there are very few teams you can point to and say higher likelihood that they finish in the top 10 at the end of the season from a defensive rating standpoint. The Packers are at the top of that list for me. But that's not how you win football games really in 2022. And I think this, you know, that in general, considering you've had 3 years of 13 win football, you're going to have a lot of moments of frustration if you're the Packers this year.
Oh, and just going back to that playoff game, it gets forgotten basically as the fourth game of that weekend because of what happened with Cincy and Tennessee. Of course, the Rams nearly blowing the big lead. And then, of course, the Chiefs, Bills, epic, as we know. Drew, stick around. We'll more NFC North chatter with Drew Dinsick coming on the other side of the numbers game here on VSiN.
Numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, and that's BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. So visit BetMGM for terms and conditions right now. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 4700. Of course, this great program brought to you by BetMGM. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. Happy to be with you this week and next week. Wyatt Tomchek here as well. Drew Dinsick also with us, of course, NBC Sports Edge. You can find him on the Deep Dive podcast as well. Drew, I really enjoy the good fortune that we had that you have the NFC North done on NFC North Day here on the program. So this, it works out very nicely. One last thing on Green Bay, Drew, and quickly here on this. Who ends up being Aaron Rodgers' top pass catcher? Who ends up being that? Because eyeballing it from here, I don't trust Sammy Watkins to stay healthy.
Nope.
Alan Lazard as a complimentary piece is good, but not as a number one. I'm almost defaulting to their second round pick of Christian Watson.
I think your leader for receptions and yards is entirely possible that it's Aaron Jones.
Wow.
I think I'm giving them a benefit of the doubt that they ultimately get there. That's mm-hmm. what they should do. Like, he's your most dynamic kind of player in the passing game at this point, as you look at the talent on that roster. It's easy to take a guy like Rodgers and put him in the air of a Manning and a Brady, guys mm-hmm. who were able to take replacement level talent and make them into bona fide stars at the NFL level, and assume that Rodgers can do that as well. But we have not ever seen him perform that, really. Without elite Devontae Adams, you can even look at 2018 before Devontae Adams really emerged as a superstar, and that offense was not great. And honestly, I think if you look at 2018's offensive statistics and you say this is your baseline expectation for Green Bay this year, then I think you're on the right track.
Drew, I want to go to Detroit next because they're a team that seemingly a lot of smart people are higher on than I would have expected for the Lions. Yeah, they had a lot of tight games mixed in there that they lost, obviously, to Tucker. Record-breaking field goal early in the year. They had a few others where they're competitive, close losses. The first Minnesota game comes to mind. But then you have the games like the Seattle game late in the season where they give up over 50 points. You have the Eagle game where that game was over before the first snap, essentially. The Bengals destroyed them. 6.5 feels about right in a division that may have the worst team in the NFC in Chicago. But I don't know how you bet with any confidence at over 6.5 with Detroit, or really, honestly, any offensive positive props to the positive end here, Drew.
It's not a crazy take at all. And it is I have kind of wrestled with exactly how to attack this team because I am one of the people that agrees that they are going to be a positive story for the season. I look at their schedule and I see a lot of opportunity, particularly mm-hmm. in the early part of the season, to really kind of shake things up and, maybe even race out to an NFC North lead. Now, can they secure the bag is a different question. And, you know, the schedule gets weird at the end where they have a lot of games in, you know, outdoor conditions, cold temperatures, and you're asking Jared Goff and his tiny hands to go win you games that are coin flips in difficult circumstances. And that's scary. So I did not get involved in Lions to win the NFC North. I did not get involved in Lions to make the playoffs. I think you have to go for the higher upside ways to attack this team. And I think there are two ways to do that. And the first and most obvious, and the price has already, sailed a little bit, but I still think that this player, I think Dan Campbell ought to be the leader in the coach of the year market. And the reason is straightforward. Lions ultimately have success with Jared Goff and this roster, young roster, and they're playing hard for Dan Campbell, which they proved clearly last year they were willing to do. Then he is going to get the benefit of the people giving the Lions praise if they are surprisingly good. And I think realistically, if the Lions make the playoffs, if they win the NFC North, I think he is your solid favorite to win Coach of the Year. And even if they just make the playoffs, it's going to take some other story that's grander to pass him as the guy that, the journalists are going to want to give the credit for. Because, frankly, people have doubted this team for a long time. Even the market right now at 6.5 wins tells you this is not a playoff team, not even close. And if they ultimately surprise and do play to that level, then I think, catching something in the 20-1 range is a more fun payout than just betting them to win make the playoffs at a decent plus number. So that's a fun way to attack that. And then I think realistically, the Lions have built through the last two drafts in the trenches. They have one of the best offensive lines in football from a talent standpoint, and their defensive line has a lot of the characteristics of a team that is ready to really surprise defensively just by having game-breaking plays from a pass rushing standpoint. There are still obviously clear holes in the secondary, but if you can keep your front seven healthy and have an aggressive pass rush, you can probably make up some of the difference there. And in fact, you're going to be able to probably put away games that you have a lead in the fourth quarter if your pass rush is really pinning their ears back and getting after it. And I think with the Bears on your schedule twice, the Vikings on your schedule twice, some offensive lines that we have huge questions about, you're going to have opportunities for a guy like Aiden Hutchinson to really perform well statistically, which I think opens the door wide open for him to be the defensive rookie of the year. So I bet into that at 6-1, and I bet into Dan Campbell as coach of the year around 20-1. And I think those are fun, higher payout upside ways to try to expect the Lions to surprise to the good.
So right now at BetMGM, Dan Campbell, this was not the case even just 10 days ago. Dan Campbell's your co-favorite right now with Brian Daboll to be the coach of the year at 12-1. So a lot of people think it the same way as you there, Drew. And I'm just thinking through the scenario that you put out there. If Detroit makes the playoffs, forget the division, just makes the playoffs, it would probably take like the New York Giants overachieving and possibly making the playoffs, or even going as crazy as Jacksonville making the playoffs and Doug Peterson winning that award, to not have Campbell win that award if Detroit somehow makes the playoffs. So I see that angle for sure. If they overachieve, make the playoffs, I don't know how Dan Campbell doesn't win this award. Now, yeah, the problem is obviously making the playoffs.
The making the playoffs is the problem. And I guess you're counting a little bit on the fact that Green Bay is going to regress. That's part of this as well. And I guess maybe, you know, you don't have to. I will explain the fact that there are a lot of professionals, a lot of smart minds that are pro Detroit. I think a lot of that can be explained by the fact that, you know, people all around the space are cold on the Packers. Mm-hmm. And if not them, who becomes the question? And considering what you have from, you know, how some of the questions about the defensive side of the ball for the Vikings, and considering everything outside of the quarterback position for the Bears, it's easy to see why you end up kind of defaulting to looking hard at the Lions. And you can't dispute the fact that ultimately this Lions roster top to bottom is not a bottom five roster, the way that this team is lined, from a power number standpoint, from a win standpoint, like that, you know, the, if you are sure in your mind that, you know, that Goff is not going to be able to perform to, you know, league average level, then you're not buying the Lions. But if you have league average grade on Goff or better, then the rest of that roster around him elevates this team to kind of knocking on the door of the playoffs. And I think from a number standpoint.
There, you brought up their schedule, Drew, and I'll just make this point quickly before later in the show we'll go into the Lions further. Those first five games, now they have a very early bye. They have a week six bye this year. All five of those games, the first 5 weeks, are winnable. Now, they'll be an underdog in Minnesota. They'll be an underdog in New England. They'll be an underdog week one against Philadelphia. But if you said, all right, Detroit is 3-2, or everything goes right, 4-1 into the bye, as crazy as that may seem on the surface, I could see that if they actually get the breaks in those games.
Yeah, over the balance of the season, there are 10 games where they are either favored or dogs by less than a field goal. And I think that is a soft schedule. If you have 10 coin flips there, and then you can surprise in a couple of other areas, then you're talking about a 10-win team. And I think certainly the start of the season, really and truly, that Detroit-Philly game, you know, game week one, is going to be awesome, because there's a faction of sharps that have planted their flag in Detroit, and there's a faction of sharps that have planted their flag in Philadelphia. And so there's going to be kind of some reckoning, market adjustment, overreaction to that game one way or the other, just based on how that outcome, is viewed. But the Washington game, the Seattle game, even the Minnesota game, I think are all very winnable by Detroit. And all of a sudden, they may be making headlines for that Buffalo Thanksgiving game people are talking about them as a playoff team.
Now, we're going to learn a lot week one, that's for sure, between the Eagles and the Lions. Drew Dinsick, everyone. Drew, pleasure as always. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Hey, take care, guys. Best of luck.
Absolutely. Green Bay Packers preview coming up next.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. Please take advantage of it today. For just $19, you get everything we do here at VSiN from now through the end of July. So sign up today. You'll get VSiN's daily best bets, including Adam Burke's MLB best bets on a daily basis, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bet email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is just $19 American to be a subscriber through the end of July. That's July 31st. So sign up now, VSiN.com/summer. It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. Wyatt Tomchek is here as well. Wyatt, did you bet the Home Run Derby last night? You have anything?
I took a nap.
Okay, that's fair.
It was fair. I'm not used to working.
You're not used to the mornings. I understand.
I was passing out at home. I was like, you know what? Let me get a 2-hour nap.
No, I can't really, even though it's late in the day for a 2-hour nap. But oh well.
It is never late for a nap.
Okay, fine. We'll agree to disagree. Juan Soto ends up beating Julio Rodriguez in the title in the championship round. The big one last night was Albert Pujols stunning Kyle Schwarber in round one in extra time. Pujols was as high as a +360 underdog to beat Schwarber. Just sometimes things get weird. That's all I could say. And again, it's Home Run Derby. It's an event that is not specifically, it wasn't the best put together event last night for whatever reason. There's problems tracking the baseball. I'm fairly certain Schwarber actually tied Pujols, but they didn't count it as a tie.
My roommate was telling me about that. Yeah, what was going on?
I don't
know.
You know what I think? It's just, look, in this format, there's so many pitches being thrown. It's just hard to keep track sometimes. And again, it's something we bet on.
Yeah.
You got to get it right. But again, in the end, Juan Soto, no doubt in the end.
They scared my guy Ronald Acuña with the pyros. Like,
yeah, they almost set him on fire by accident before the event. Let's get into Packers, though. Let's start with Green Bay. Of course, Green Bay, the one seed the last 2 years in the NFC, just ending in disaster, to put it lightly. Losing in the NFC title game in a game against Tampa Bay in the 2020 season that they had no business losing. And then talk about no business losing. What they did last year, and Drew mentioned it at the top, and I'm not going to make our resident Packer fan rehash this too much, but losing a game where the 49ers scored zero offensive touchdowns at home, 13-10, can't happen. Can't happen the way it happened. An opening drive touchdown, is like, all right, we're off to the races. Green Bay going to run them out of the building. Nope, not what happened one bit. And now you look at Green Bay here this year. They are the favorites in the NFC North, as you see, -165 on Green Bay to win the NFC North yet again. Vikings +260. We'll get to them later. Lions are +850, and then a 10-1 shot on the Bears. Do not bet the Bears. Don't do it. We'll talk about them next segment. That is a disastrous roster around Justin Fields. Disastrous for the Chicago Bears. Just giving your rookie, the guy you had as a rookie last year, traded multiple first-round picks for, you didn't do enough this offseason to get this right. Looking at Green Bay's betting profile, though, win totals at 10.5, juice to the over, -145 on Green Bay to go over that 10.5, +120 on the under. These are all BetMGM numbers, of course. Make the playoffs, -450, no. The good old +333, -165, as I said earlier, to make to win the NFC North, +550 to win the NFC, 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. Now, the big concern with Green Bay, more than anything, and this is completely flipped of what it has been the last few years, and really most of the Aaron Rodgers era, there are significant question marks on offense, as we mentioned before. Right now, listed, their number one wide receiver is probably Alan Lazard, who has done his best work as a complimentary guy. He's not a number one. They go outside Sammy Watkins, who didn't play much last year, and when he did play, he was ineffective in Baltimore. Randall Cobb is amazingly still there. Somehow, someway, still there. Christian Watson, they used the second-round pick on the North Dakota State wide receiver. He's going to have an impact if Green Bay's offense, they're not going to be what they were the last 2 years. It's just not going to happen. But if they're still a top 10 offense, they probably run away with this division yet again. And that defense that they have, this is the best defense on paper Green Bay has had in a significant amount of time. It's been a while. They use both of their early picks on defensive players. They take Quay Walker, who again, I'm not so certain he's going to end up even being a top three defender from Georgia in this draft, but there are a lot of good defenders from Georgia in this draft, obviously. But this defense actually has the potential to be a legit top 10 group. This could look very different by the end of the year, where Green Bay's middling in the middle of the league offensively, but their defense is what carries them. Looking at Green Bay player totals here before we look at their schedule, because their schedule is pretty soft in the first 7 weeks, other than two games. Aaron Rodgers' passing yards is 4,050.5. Rodgers, of course, coming up back-to-back MVP seasons. Last year, he threw for 4,115. Did not play or barely played in that Week 18 game. didn't play in Kansas City, of course, the infamous immunized quote in the offseason. Of course, he was not vaccinated for COVID-19. 31.5 passing touchdowns for Rodgers, 7.5 interceptions. Now, 31.5 touchdown passes. Rodgers, other than 2017, which was a year Rodgers missed the bulk of the year because of injury, he had 40 in 2016, he had 48 in 2020, he had 37 in 2021. But 2018 and 2019, of course, 2018 was the year that McCarthy got fired midseason. It was the worst season other than the first year starting for Rodgers that Rodgers had as a starter. The Packers were bad that year in 2018. 2019, remember, kind of came out of left field that the Packers were as good as they were, win a playoff game, lose the NFC title game. Rodgers only threw 26 touchdown passes that year. He just didn't turn the ball over in that season. So that touchdown number at first seems low, but 31.5 is probably about right. Now, the interception number is too low. Now, the only thing that could hurt you in that is Aaron Rodgers trying to force the issue a little more with having guys he doesn't fully trust. But remember last year, Aaron Rodgers threw 2 interceptions in week 1. Through 2 interceptions the remainder of the season. So, by the way, I like your hat, by the way, Wyatt. It's a good hat. Look at that. Look at that. He's got the cheese hat on.
You know, you made me wait like 8 minutes before. It's been kind of hard to balance on the head, but you know, as a Green Bay Packer fan, I had to represent. But
please go ahead.
But, you know, the one number that really does interest me is the Rodgers interceptions. So he doesn't throw it picks.
You want to go under, because I want to go under as well, because if you look at Aaron Rodgers' interception numbers, Wyatt, 2010. Okay, Aaron Rodgers threw 11 interceptions in 2010, all right? That was his third full season. Since then, Aaron Rodgers has thrown more than 7.5 interceptions in the season twice. 2012, he threw 8. 2015, he threw 8. Now, that 2017 season, he threw 6 in limited action because that was the collarbone year. So that would have been an over if he had played a full season. But I think part of those numbers got a little skewed because of the injury. Green Bay's schedule, real quick. They opened the season on the road in Minnesota. They're a 2.5-point road favorite. That is in a week of completely unbettable games from a traditional sense, that's a teaser play on Minnesota, but not much else. They play the Bears on Sunday night, week 2, then at Tampa Bay, week 3. After that, they have a 4-game stretch between with 3 home games against New England, the Giants, and the Jets mixed in there. The Giant game, is that the London game, the Giant game, correct, Wyatt?
Yes, that is. Okay, that'll be the first time Green Bay has ever played
London. So that's the London game of week 5, technically a home game, but it is the Giants, not an overpowering team. At the Commanders, then they get the Bills and then at the Lions. They're going to have a lot of opportunities in the middle of the season here after that week 3 game at Tampa to rack up a bunch of wins against lesser competition. Green Bay, to me, is still the class of this division until proven otherwise, or until proven that Aaron Rodgers just doesn't care about winning anymore. 10.5 is right. Wouldn't shock me if they win this division at 10-7. Wouldn't shock me if they win this division at 12-5. But that schedule, there's the cheesehead for you one more time. If you're watching us at VSiN.com, they are still the class of the NFC North. Speaking of a team that is not the class of the division, we'll go to Chicago next on a numbers game.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Step up to the plate for this All-Star offer from BetMGM. Place a $25 wager on the MLB All-Star game, and if your bet loses, you'll receive your stake back in free bets up to $25. So log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to get started. Then place a $25 wager on the MLB All-Star game, and you'll get your stake back in free bets up to $25 if your bet loses. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older to place a wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards offered as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. This promotional offer not available in Nevada, Mississippi, New York, or Washington, D.C. And that's all the time we have here on A Numbers Game today. No, got another hour, 15 minutes of us. I'm Jeff Miles, Wyatt Tomczyk here as well. Dan Zimborski's with us in 15, talking MLB second half with the creator of Zips himself. Looking forward to that. We haven't talked to Dan in a while on this show. But let's continue our NFC North previews. The final thought on Green Bay, I'll just say this before we shift over to Chicago. It all comes down to Aaron Rodgers' motivation level. If Aaron Rodgers wants to really go for that third straight MVP, Green Bay will be great in the regular season again. If not, they'll be good to average. Now, the problem is behind them in the NFC North, to me, there's no one that is realistically capable, unless if Minnesota gets a shot in the arm from Kevin O'Connell and getting a McVay-like system in there replacing the Jurassic era offense that they ran and Jurassic era team that they had with Zimmer coaching the team the last few years, they would be the most likely one. I can tell you it will not be this team that we will be talking about, and that is the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears, of course, traded multiple first-round picks, multiple draft picks on top of that for Justin Fields in the 2021 draft. And properly so. Going into that draft, I thought, all right, if you have the first overall pick, you kind of have to take Trevor Lawrence, like Jacksonville did. And I wanted my Jets to take Justin Fields at number two. We knew that wasn't going to happen. We knew they were rumored to Wilson. That's exactly what happened. And I think long-term, going out of that draft, I was like, all right, San Francisco, Lance, I don't mind the pick. The ceiling is very high for Lance, but the floor is very low for Lance. Justin Fields was the safer and probably better long-term pick, but regardless, we know we're not going to rehash that whole draft. But for the Chicago Bears, who have a win total of 6.5 this year, a 10-1 price to win the NFC North, plus 350 on the yes, 40-1 to win the NFC Championship. By the way, that plus 350 is yes to make the playoffs, minus 450 on a no. 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. Chicago's wide receivers this year. And this is, remember, you have to take advantage of the rookie contract with these quarterbacks. It's either at this point, if you're going to win a title, you're either going with rookie quarterback on rookie contract or Hall of Famer. That's essentially the split that we're looking at. Last year may have bucked the trend because Matthew Stafford, I don't think, is a Hall of Famer, even though he's the top 10 quarterback in the league right now. But you look at Chicago's wide receivers to put around Justin Fields in what should be a critical year two. Darnell Mooney, your number one wide receiver. Yeah, I know he went over 1,000 last year. He's not a number one wide receiver. Byron Pringle, they signed from Kansas City. They drafted Velus Jones. They traded for N'Keal Harry. Equanimeous St. Brown is there. That's not the right St. Brown. Dante Pettis, Tajay Sharp. That is rough. That is very rough. Where you have, unless Justin Fields is superhuman, oh, and by the way, their offensive line still stinks. You are looking at a very rough season in Chicago. A very rough season all the way through. And I don't know, even with a schedule, that after the first 2 weeks, there is a four-week stretch from week three to week six of it being pretty soft, all things considered. Chicago will be favored at home against Houston. That might be the time to use, if you're going to try to have some fun in Survivor, that might be the week you use Chicago. Might be your only chance. At the Giants, week four. Giants, I think, are, as we talked about yesterday, are better than Chicago on paper and going into this year. But that's, if I told you the Bears went to the Meadowlands to beat the Giants, you wouldn't be shocked. Minnesota, I mean, the Vikings, again, the widest range of anyone in the NFC to me. And then the Commanders week six at home. So you have four games that are potentially winnable in that four-game stretch. Now, do I think they win all four of them? Absolutely not. I think they're more than likely to go 1-3 in those four games or 2-2. But after that, they have another four-game stretch from week 9 to week 12 where they have two home games against Detroit and Miami, both winnable, and on the road against two teams that could very easily be near the bottom of the league again in Atlanta and the Jets. The schedule actually is conducive to putting together some streaks here. But the problem is, even with a weak schedule like that, and the eight games in two four-game stretches from week 3 to week 6 and week 9 to week 12, if the team stinks, it doesn't matter. And that's where I think we're at with the Chicago team. Their offensive line is still horrible. You have a guy coming over from Green Bay, Luke Getsy, who never called plays. We don't know what he's going to be as a play caller. That's a very difficult spot. Now, could he end up being really good? Yes, of course he could. But that's a very difficult spot with a second-year quarterback who was mediocre last year, had some glimpses of brilliance, but was still mediocre as a whole last year, asking a guy who's never called plays with mediocre skill positions. David Montgomery's still legitimately good at running back, but other than him, you have mediocre skill positions around the second-year quarterback in Fields. So it's going to be very hard to ask much from Getsy at this point. Also, we don't know what we're getting at head coach. First-time head coach Matt Eberflus. We don't know. Could be great. Could be terrible. We don't know. It's hard to handicap these first-year head coaches. You can only handicap the rosters. Defensively speaking for this Bears team, by the way, Robert Quinn's only 32 years old. I would have lost that. I would have lost that bet. If you made me bet what his age was, I would have guessed he was 37. Would have got that wrong. But Robert Quinn still is an elite pass rusher. He still is. Roquan Smith is a good player still. Still like Eddie Jackson in that secondary. They're very young back there now with Gordon as well, with Brisker, two of their first picks. The first two picks, I should say, that they made in the draft. Remember, they didn't have a one. But this is a rough roster as a whole. And there's a reason that I would have them actually finishing last in this division, even behind Detroit. Unless if Justin Fields is so much better than he was in year one, this is going to be very rough for Chicago. Stage of elimination, just don't even bother betting it this year. Minus 450 to miss the playoffs. Yeah, they're going to miss the playoffs. But that could be a very uncomfortable sweat if they do well in those two four-game stretches. So that's a little bit tough. Looking at the player individual props here, it is very hard to go over on anything here, other than maybe Montgomery 900.5 rushing yards. This is one of those where Gil and Bill Krakenberger talked about this last week, gravitating to the unders, betting against human achievement in these might be the way to look for the Chicago team. This roster is brutal. The only reason that they are not a dead under at 6.5 for me is those two four-game stretches where if they exceed expectations a little bit, they could end up with 5 wins right there. And you're just asking them to win 2 more games and then you go over 6.5. But I have a hard time. Look, 18.5 is a really low number on Justin Fields passing touchdowns. But the roster around him, it's hard for me to even consider betting it over. 14.5 interceptions is, by the way, that tied for the highest on the board in the NFL. Him, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence are the other 14.5, and Davis Mills. Common thread there, second-year quarterbacks, 4 of them at 14.5. I don't know how you bet that. Maybe Fields has a year where he turns it over a ton, but there are a lot of fumbles. It's a hard one. Darnell Mooney, again, he went over 1,000 last year. Someone's got to make catches for Chicago. But again, this is just such a weak roster. And I feel potentially for Justin Fields. And look, Justin Fields could end up exceeding expectations, and it doesn't matter that this roster is not any good around him, and he could be great. But this is a very hard sell for me that Justin Fields is going to really take the leap that I would be looking forward to in a normal circumstance in year 2 in Chicago. Dan Zaborski's coming up next. We're going to be talking Major League Baseball second half. Plenty to get to with Zaborski next. The Numbers Game here on VSiN.